Hey, this is Brian Santos, TD Garden Luxury Premium Suite Chef of home of the Boston Bruins Celtics. Also, I am on...
Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
We're now ready! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Well, it wasn't pretty, but the Celtics come away with the victory. The playoff-bound Boston Celtics come away with the victory. Welcome into CLNS Radio's post-game coverage of tonight's game between the Boston Celtics and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Celtics had a pretty good lead in this one. New Orleans injury-plagued most of the season and didn't give up in this one, but ultimately the Celtics pull away with a run at the end in the fourth quarter, and the Celtics pull away and win this one by a score of 104-97. I am your host. My name is Sean Backey. Joining me tonight will be Brian Langford, and you may have heard us before together on a little podcast called The Evening Score. So get in queue when we open up the SeatGeek toll-free call lines as well. That number is 347-215-7771. And, of course, you know CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is even now more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio will now provide basketball fans game day coverage before anyone else leading up to tip-off. The all-new Boston Celtics pregame show with Larry H. Russell will be released on CLNS Radio on game day at 4 p.m. Eastern, making it the first pregame show to air anywhere. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app today so you don't miss a show. If you caught today's episode, LHR had David Wesley, Pelicans color commentator, on before the game. LHR calling this one a trap game. It almost was, as the Pelicans hang around in this one, but the Celtics pull away at the end and win this one by a score of 104-97. Coming up a little later, we're going to be talking with Jared Weiss from the TD Garden. He's going to be calling in with the grandstand locker room report, so stay tuned for that in a little while here. And as I mentioned, I should be joined by my co-host for the evening, Brian Langford, any minute now as well. So the Celtics, as I said, playoff bound. They clinch a playoff spot with their victory over the Lakers on Sunday night, and of course the historic victory over the Golden State Warriors from last Friday, sort of still glowing from. But coming into this game, obviously the Celtics with the Pelicans well under 500. Coming into this game at 29-48, they're now 29-49 with this loss. And many of the starters for the Pelicans injured, including Anthony Davis, obviously. But these guys hung around. I mean, you don't know their names. Obviously, Tim Frazier coming off the bench with 18 points for the Pelicans. And guys like Luke Babbitt with 16 points and Jordan Hamilton with 14 points kept these guys in the game. The Celtics went up by 16 points in this one. And it seemed like they were pulling away early in the third quarter after they obtained a double-digit lead in the first half. Pelicans come back, keep close at halftime, and then the Celtics go on a big one, get out to a big lead. And it didn't last very long. Pelicans came right back in this one. Led by these guys, as I mentioned, Frazier and Babbitt and Hamilton, along with Tony Douglas, who had 19 points and 7 rebounds and 3 assists for the Pelicans tonight, and even James Ennis, who had 13 points and also contributed with 4 rebounds But the Celtics defense, especially in the second half, really tightened up. They had a number of steals, a number of good, defensive opportunities where they didn't allow the Pelicans to score. And somehow, some way, the Celtics were able to, despite the fact that they weren't really scoring much in the second half, keep New Orleans at bay and pull out the victory here. 104-97 was the final score. Again, get in queue here, 347-215-7771 is the number to call in and get in queue on the SeatGeek toll-free lines, which will be opening up very soon in order to get your take on this one tonight. Now, the Celtics have four games left in the season, and it seems like they're all against teams that they're battling with for position in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics certainly have something to play for still, namely seeding in the Eastern Conference. And we'll see if we can get an update on what the standings look like with some of the games tonight. The Celtics with their 46th win of the season, looking to get to 50, and they'd have to win out to do so. They right now, as it stands, they're tied for the third seed with the Atlanta Hawks. And they do have a game coming up with Atlanta very soon. So we're gonna see this one go down to the wire because you have the Miami Heat half game out and the Hornets a game out. So that 3, 4, 5, 6 seeding in the Eastern Conference is most certainly going to be a battle in this next year. The Celtics coming up with the victory over the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. Isaiah Thomas, your leading scorer, he was doing it all tonight and ultimately helps the Celtics get this victory 104-97. So, as I said, get in queue 347-215-7771, and I will take your calls for the next 90 minutes or so. And don't forget that today's podcast is powered by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. Audiobooks are great to listen to when you're driving, running errands, in the gym, or just simply at home relaxing. But for our audience members, Audible is offering a free 30-day trial. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and browse the over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. One audiobook you should definitely consider is frequent CLNS radio guest and sports beat legends Bob Ryan's book, Scribe. Get a free 30-day trial at audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and download Scribe, narrated by Bob Ryan himself. Again, all you need to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and start your free trial today. So again, the Celtics leading scorer tonight, Isaiah Thomas. He's been the high scorer in a lot of their games this season. He goes for 32 tonight. Also had 8 assists, but he had contributions from pretty much everyone in this one. Avery Bradley comes back from the birth of his son, and we had. Amir Johnson had 7 rebounds and probably had the play of the game with it was a 4-point lead at the time. There's, under 2 minutes to go. And Luke Babbitt gets the ball wide open under the hoop. Looks like he has an easy layup, fumbled the ball a little bit. And Amir Johnson gets back and blocks the shot. Celtics get the ball and are going the other way up 4. And they end up getting a 3-pointer from Avery Bradley to give them a 7-point lead with about a minute to go. So you have Amir Johnson only 6 points, but he had 7 rebounds and 2 blocks. One of them is as big as a block as you can see from anybody here. But Jay Crowder, in his 34 minutes tonight, 14 points, also had 3 rebounds. Isaiah Thomas, as I said, 32 points, 8 assists. Avery Bradley, in his return from family leave, he had 13 points, also had 6 rebounds and 3 assists. And off the bench tonight, Marcus Smart, although he did leave the game, I believe he got poked in the eye, it looked like, or got hit in the eye. May have had to take a couple of stitches, but we'll see if we can get an update on that from Jared Weiss when he calls in from the locker room at the TD Garden. But 11 points from Marcus Smart off the bench tonight, played nearly 33 minutes, also had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. And I thought there was good contribution from Terry Rozier tonight. If you look at his stat line, doesn't look too pretty. It's a minus 12 on the plus minus. He only had 2 points, had 2 rebounds, but 16 minutes for him. And the fact that at this point in the season, you know, even though they've made the playoffs, but they still have something to play for, that he's actually out there and playing 16 minutes tonight, you know, I thought was obviously telling. Because, you know, with the recent injury to Jay Crowder, Bradley missing some time, you know, Smart obviously, you know, shouldn't miss any time with this injury at the end of this game. But if he was to go out, Rozier is going to be counted on a little bit more. So the fact that he was out there for 16 minutes and, you know, didn't necessarily fill up the stat line, but did a few of the intangible things that that you want to see out of him. With a couple of rebounds and in one basket, at least, I thought was important for them tonight. Jonas Derebko had a couple of threes. I thought that was big for the Celtics tonight. Kelly Olynyk only played 11 minutes tonight, with only 7 points and 2 assists from him. So not much of a contribution from Kelly tonight, but they did get obviously good production from, as I said, Thomas, Crowder, Bradley, and obviously Smart off the bench. Even Sullinger, who I didn't see much of, and that may be a question that we have for Jared Weiss as well. Sullinger played 21 minutes tonight. I'm not sure if this was just a matchup thing or what, but I didn't see much of him in the second half until there was only a couple minutes left, and he came in when Brad Stevens went small to play the five. But he had 8 points and 6 rebounds tonight in his 21 minutes, 3 of 8 shooting. Did take a couple threes, didn't hit any of them. I'd rather he not take any of those, but that could be another conversation for another time. So again, Celtics win this one, 104-97. Give me a call, 347-215-7771. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with CN Linus Radio's Celtics postgame show. You're listening to post-game coverage of the Celtics and the New Orleans Pelicans.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com. Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
All right, welcome back into CLNS Radio's Celtics postgame coverage of the Celtics and Pelicans. CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and visual coverage of the Boston Celtics. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Go to Facebook.com/CLNS Radio or CLNS Fans, rather, to like us on Facebook, and of course follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio. Again, the leading online provider of audiovisual coverage of the Boston Celtics. We're going to be opening up the SeatGeek toll free call lines at 347-215-7771. And of course, if you're looking for tickets and you've been frustrated trying to buy tickets online because most sites make it very complicated and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout, that's why you should try SeatGeek. They made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. The Celtics postgame show listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So to get a $20 rebate on tickets, you can download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code CelticsBeat, and that's one word, CelticsBeat, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code CelticsBeat, that's one word, today. Okay, so again, the Celtics win this 92-97 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Give us a call, 347-215-7771, to talk about this one. And I was supposed to be joined by Brian Langford, it must be an issue with Brian tonight. The voice of the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show, Matt Rory, is going to be calling in a little while to help me out here as flying solo right now. And with nobody calling in, just breaking this one down as much as possible until Matt hops on here. And then, of course, we're going to have the locker room report, the grandstand locker room report from Jared Weiss coming up in a little while here, calling in from the TD Garden. So my take on the Celtics right now, obviously, with the West Coast trip and it being a very positive West Coast trip going 3-2 out there, particularly getting the game against the Warriors and then in the Celtics' last game against Kobe Bryant as he's retiring at the end of the season, and the Lakers aren't going to the playoffs, so he's only got a couple of games left to his career and is actually playing the Clippers and Paul Pierce tonight for the final time, which Pierce made note of on social media and on Facebook. Made note that obviously the last time that he and Kobe will be competing against each other. Interestingly enough, with Pierce playing with the Clippers this season, so another good victory to get against your heated rivals. Although the last few seasons have been a bit tough in this rivalry, but going back to 2010, obviously, in 2008, and then back to the 80s with Bird and Magic, Celtics and Lakers are what the NBA was all about, pretty much. But getting that victory, obviously, over the Warriors and the Lakers, and then coming in and grabbing this one against the Pelicans, you're on a good streak right now. There's still a lot to play for in these last few games, as I said. They're statistically tied with the Atlanta Hawks currently in that third spot. And looking at, some of the other scores from around the league that obviously impact where the Celtics finish in the Eastern Conference. Obviously we're watching Atlanta, we're watching Miami, watching Charlotte to a certain extent. Of course, we're watching the Brooklyn Nets as they lose to the Washington Wizards tonight by a score of 121-103. So that's helped the draft pick. But you have Detroit beating the Magic tonight, 108-104. The Hornets beat the Knicks tonight. And then, the Hawks sit idle. So, as I said, with that outcome in these games tonight, you have the Celtics tied with the Atlanta Hawks for the third seed. And Miami just a half game back, and the Hornets a full game back. Indiana and Detroit still kind of hanging around there, but those guys will pretty much fall into that 7 and 8 spot in the Eastern Conference. So let's head to the SeatGeek toll-free call line, 347-215-1. We're going to go to the voice of the Celtics postgame show, Matt Rory, who was at the TD Garden tonight, and he's going to give his analysis of what happened down there on the parquet. Matt Rory, welcome to the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show tonight.
Sean, not only was I there tonight, But I think the people need to know that I was in California this weekend, and I attended both games. So I'm considering myself and my girlfriend a little bit of a good luck charm for this team right now. How about that?
So you were in Oakland Friday night. That's what you're saying?
Right.
And then you were in L.A.
Friday night. I was in Los Angeles on Sunday night. And
wow.
Now I'm back in Boston, baby, on
Wednesday.
That's quite
a road trip.
It's quite a road trip. I feel like I played in all three games at this point, Sean. I need to go to bed. I am looking at traffic on Storrow Drive that I didn't realize was going to be here. Even worse than late-night traffic after the game because it looks like there's some sort of construction. So the people around town know my pain. But the bottom line is, I just after being at those two games on the West Coast, I have more confidence in the Celtics than I did before I went on that trip. And I don't want to put too much weight on two games. I don't want to put weight on one single road trip. But I just feel like the Celtics' composure over the past couple of weeks, especially with Jay Crowder not really being in the lineup for that entire period of time, has been great. And going forward, I like their chances to compete in the playoffs. I'm not going to put any labels on it as far as how far they're going to go, but I just think as a whole, they look really good right now. And even though they didn't play their best tonight against New Orleans, a team that isn't even going to sniff the playoffs, they still seem like they have the composure in the tight moments. And you did see that towards the end of the game. The Celtics were in complete control, even though they were only up a few points.
Well, I think to a certain extent, you see, they play up or down to their competition in a situation tonight where the Pelicans, you thought they were going to be able to pull away from them with a couple of big runs. New Orleans was fairly resilient and was able to stay in this game and got it back to tied and even had a lead here. But the Celtics' defense really buckled down, and they were taking care of the ball. The Celtics were taking care of – I don't know what the final numbers were. I know late in the game they only had about six turnovers, so they might have been sort of in that area with the amount of turnovers they had. They did get out-rebounded pretty severely, by a good amount by the Pelicans tonight. But, I liked how they kind of took the punches of New Orleans here and punch back and, hit some big shots down the stretch and made some big defensive plays down the stretch, because that's what they're going to have to do in a seven-game playoff series is win some games dirty like that. Right now, if the playoffs started today, it looks like they would have the advantage over Atlanta with the tiebreaker and everything, and they would face the Charlotte Hornets. So I would think they would be able to win – win that series against Charlotte. But, there's going to be some games like this that they're going to have to go out and win. There might be a game where, you're not getting the play that you need from guys other than Isaiah Thomas, and yet you can still, come out with a victory. And those are the types of games that they're going to need to win here in the playoffs if they want to get past the first round.
Yeah, you know what? Charlotte is a team that I'm not really concerned with. Of the three teams that are sort of bunched up, or four teams, if you will, that are bunched up in the 3-6 range, Charlotte is the one that bothers me the least. I'm not concerned with them. I told
Calvin
that last
night
on Charlotte's Whispers, actually. I feel like the other teams in the East, the Celtics, are probably going to have trouble guarding the player that's been playing the best for those teams recently. Miami Whiteside has been an absolute beast, and I just don't think that anyone can stay with him on the Celtics roster if he continues the way he's been playing, right? So Charlotte is a team that I think has the most favorable matchup for the Celtics, but at the same time, they've come out of nowhere for the most part. And Al Jefferson has finally turned into that player that seemingly can control a game when he wants to. So it's just a matter of, I guess, whether he has that drive to do so, and whether the coaching of Steve Clifford can push these guys over the hump. I would give the Celtics the slight advantage in every major category in that series. So if that's the way it shakes out, that would be great. I'm a little concerned about Atlanta, though. I think Atlanta has really started playing well recently, and I think that they are similar to the Celtics in the way that they, while they do have all-stars in Horford and Teague, they don't really have that superstar type of player, and they're playing as a team. So I feel like that would be the most interesting series out of all three of these that could shake out this way if the Celtics get three. And the team I'm most concerned with is Miami. I just think that even though they don't really have that Dwayne Wade is fading, let's be honest. They don't have that superstar otherwise because Chris Bosh is not looking like he's going to be playing anytime soon, unfortunately, with his health situation. But they have the experience, and Whiteside has just been out of his mind, like I said. So that would be the team that concerns me the most. Otherwise, it looks to me like the Celtics are going to have some smooth sailing going into the playoffs, assuming that they can still play the way that they've been playing, which is actually saying a lot because especially since Jay Crowder has just come back and sort of been thrown back in there, it's like they didn't miss a beat, and that's impressive to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously there's still a couple of games where they go head-to-head with these teams, so it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. But the way they've been playing in you know, it seems you know, it very special how you have a player like Isaiah Thomas that has taken his game to even another level. You know, he goes to 32 tonight. He really took over, going to the hoop, hits a big shots from outside. But it seems like game in and game out, he's bringing it. You know, obviously Crowder's still kind of coming back. So, you know, he might have a couple games where he still needs to get back into the rhythm that he was in before he got hurt. But, you know, Marcus Smart, I thought, had a good game tonight. And
Smart looked really good tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but
defensively.
I don't know. I think,
go ahead.
I think the biggest question is whether, because you saw this last year, Cleveland, they locked down on Isaiah Thomas. They found a way to stop Isaiah Thomas, and that smothered Celtics' chances, right? The big question this year is, not is Isaiah Thomas going to be able to score, but when teams smother him, because there's going to be a point in just about every game where teams decide, all right, Isaiah's not going to be the one to hurt us on this play or this set of plays or in this quarter, whatever it may be. When that happens, is somebody else on the Celtics going to be able to knock down a shot? And that's the big question for me, because I still feel like Jay Crowder is not an excellent shooter, and he's not even a great shooter in my mind. So I don't have the confidence in him to be able to knock down that type of shot. And then it's going to come down to Marcus Smart, who you just mentioned, and, of course, Avery Bradley knocking down these big shots from the perimeter. And I just – until they prove me wrong, I'm going to question it.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. And obviously, you know – I would think that Avery Bradley would be that guy. That's, you know, I mean, he's been working on his offense, his outside shooting, obviously that corner three. You know, in my mind, if a team is going to be able to take away Isaiah Thomas, if Avery Bradley's on the floor, he's going to be that go-to guy. You know, he's the only one, you know, unless you're going to Solinger in the paint or something like that, or, you know, relying on the streakiness of Jay Crowder, that's really that next go-to guy as far as being able to hit that outside shot consistently. And, you know, he's been more consistent you know, he hit a couple of big shots tonight, but his defense was great tonight as well. So, I mean, the all-around Avery Bradley needs to – emerge and be consistent in the playoffs if you're going to have any chance to get through an Atlanta or a Miami Heat, because those are the teams that you would think can take away an Isaiah Thomas with the personnel that they have. You know, Charlotte maybe to a certain extent as well, but those other two teams, I think, more have the personnel that can do it. You're going to need somebody else to step up, and, you know, Avery Bradley should be that guy.
Well, I hope he's that guy, and because I really don't think that Marcus Smart is there. In that Golden State game, it looked like Marcus Smart was more playing in the flow of the offense, and he wasn't taking those threes that I would consider to be bad shots. But tonight he did take a couple of those shots. One of them was an air ball towards the end of the game that luckily Jay Crowder was there to clean up, and otherwise was a really terrible looking shot from Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. So he's a long way away from being the guy to knock down those big shots, especially from the 3-point line. And I mean, that would just be my biggest concern going through the next few games and then into the playoffs. I think the Celtics are going to put up a nice fight. They might win a round, but I'm still not sold that they have the talent to push them forward, as bad as Cleveland has been and as questioning as LeBron James has been. He's really digging into his team with all the rumors out there. You know, I still don't believe that the Celtics have enough to push over the top of that, but man, are they exciting to watch? And is their heart just at 110%, whatever cliche you want to give about effort, the Celtics are filling that out. If the talent's not there, so be it. Nobody's looking for this team to win a championship this year. It's been an awesome ride so far.
Yeah, and you know, the scrappiness of this team, and as I said, I mean, really locked down on defense, and that's exciting. That's leading to transition hoops, and they were able to get a number of those tonight where, you know, you have Marcus Smart in the passing lane or Avery Bradley in the passing lane or, you know, Amir Johnson making a huge block at the end of the game to kind of seal the deal. You know, those are the types of plays that make them so exciting. And, you know, I go back to the Utah game last month that I was in the building for, and, you know, the excitement in the crowd. And of course you've been to these games at home and, you know, the couple games out in California. And I imagine the atmosphere being, you know, in the Oracle Center is just phenomenal. I can't even imagine what that's like, especially, you know, with a team like the Celtics that are, you know, coming in there and given all they have, the competition that the fans are seeing. You know, I imagine that's great, you know, to be in. I loved it in a game in February, never mind coming up in, you know, in the middle of April when it's actually basketball.
No, so I don't know. This post-game show is probably not the one to share my newfound perspective on, because who knows how many people are actually listening after the Celtics beat the Pelicans of all teams. So maybe I'll just start right now, and for the next few weeks – and months, I'll just sound like a broken record, as I did at the beginning of the season. But this is going to be a different story, because I have found some new perspective here. And the fans in Golden State in San Francisco were out of this world. They were on the edge of their seat with every shot, with every miss or make or defensive play, every whistle. They were into the game. They were engaged. And I'm not ashamed to say that the Celtics fans are not like that, because I think the Celtics fans appreciate a higher level of basketball. And that's not to say that the fans out in San Francisco are bad basketball fans, because they know exactly what they're talking about. They're highly educated basketball fans, and they have passion for the game. What I'm trying to say is that the Celtics have had more winning, more high talent on their teams than Warriors have in the past. So when you're watching guys like Steph Curry, you have to be on the edge of your seat. I was on the edge of my seat at that game watching him. It's a pleasure to take in a guy like that. So, Calvin said, makes this point a lot, that fans depend on where you are geographically, what type of city you're in, and what type of tradition there has been in the past. So the point is that Golden State fans have some of the most passionate fans in the league, but come and talk to me in 30 years when they have been winning for 30 years, and we'll see if that passion is still there. Because that's my point about Celtics fans now. They may have lost a little bit of their passion for the regular season, but I guarantee when the playoffs come on April 15th or 16th, whatever the first Celtics playoff game is, those fans are going to be in those seats. They're going to be just as loud as they were in Oracle Arena for a regular season game, and the Celtics hopefully we'll feed off that energy, because we do have some of the best fans in the league, Sean, but admittedly, we're not there every night. You have to admit that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely been in that building before when, you know, it's a Tuesday night against, I don't know, any team, you know, pick a team, the Utah Jazz, you know, because that was a Monday night. And, you know, it was kind of slow getting started, but they were there certainly at the end of that game. Yeah, I mean, the playoff atmosphere, I've been in that building in the playoffs, so I know what it's like, and I expect it to be, you know, fully jungleized. You know, Welcome to the Jungle will be playing, and, you know, all of that, and they'll be trying to bring the building down.
And while we're talking about fans, I mean, I got to get on to Lakers fans, too, and I don't want to go on too much of a rant here, but I would like to say that they're a mirror image of Celtics fans, because they were chanting Boston sucks, and they were really getting into it with Boston fans that were there. But the problem with Lakers fans, Sean, and this just solidified my opinion of them that I've had my entire life, they are fair-weather fans. They are show up when their team is winning and or when their superstar is leaving. So 80% of the people in that building were there to see Kobe. And you can't blame him for that because, yeah, it's his last year. You want to see him put on a show, right? But of those 80%, I would say maybe 10% knew the rest of the players on that team. And that just disgusted me. No matter how bad the Celtics are, you and I know who number 15 is on the roster. The Lakers fans were talking about Huertas like they didn't know who he was. And even I know that he's their backup point guard at this point. So
he looked pretty good for a while.
It was kind of a disgrace for those guys out there because they talk a lot of crap and they boast like they're big and they will get in a fight with you and they'll threaten to stab you. That actually happened. But they don't have a team to back it up. And I feel as Celtics fans, when our team is bad, we know it, but we still support them. And the Lakers fans were really just there for Kobe, which – I guess you can't blame them for, like I said, but still, not a fan of the team.
All right, well, we'll get back to this conversation in a second, Matt. We got guys calling in the TD Garden with the Grandstand app locker room report. Grandstand sports highlights from fans in the stands on the new sports app Grandstand. You can share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. So, Jared Weiss from the TD Garden. Welcome into CLNS Radio Celtics Postgame Show tonight.
Hey, what's up, guys? And let me know if I'm breaking up because I'm getting a lot of choppiness here in the garden.
Yeah, well, we're clear as a bell right now, but we'll let you know. Jared, getting right into it here. You know, obviously the Celtics win this one. Isaiah Thomas has a good game, but Marcus Smart, I believe, gets poked in the eye or hit in the head at the end of the game. Any update on his status? As we already have one guy out with a black eye.
So Marcus had 4 stitches above his left eye. He will not wear goggles and play on Friday. He will play on Friday, but he will be playing without goggles. And Evan Turner apparently is going to play with goggles. No, he envisions looking like MC Hammer, but we haven't seen the design yet.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Jared, I mean, Isaiah Thomas has really stepped his game up. It seems like he's taken it to even another level. And, you know, I imagine that he is looking for another gear once we get into the playoffs. What are you seeing from this guy? I mean, he seems to be, you know, like I said, just taking it to another level right now and really has this team on his back almost night in and night out.
Well, I asked him if he still has a chip on his shoulder, and he looked over at his shoulders to check to make sure it's still there. Says it's still there. The guy isn't going to change no matter how well he plays. He talked about how making the All-NBA team would be incredibly important to him. You know, Isaiah, this whole thing has been trying to, you know, quell the doubters, and what better way to do it than by making an All-NBA team. So he talked about how important that would be to him to have that happen after the game. And, you know, tonight was his 10th 30-point game of the season. That's definitely the making of an elite possible All-NBA player.
Matt, you got anything for Jared?
Sorry, I was muted. No, I wasn't prepared to bring anything to Jared. But, Jared, we were just talking about – I'll bring this out. We were just talking about the fact that I was out in California. The Warriors fans were hanging on the edge of their seats. What do you think about the crowd in Boston, and are they going to come out for the playoffs? Because I mean, towards the end of the game, they got into this thing. I know it's a Wednesday night against the Pelicans towards the end of the season, but I really think that the crowd needs to come out and sort of revitalize this team and give them the support that they deserve, because they've been playing their asses off this year.
There's no question. I mean, the crowd has been pretty great for the Celtics this year. I mean, they very rarely have had completely empty games. I mean, tonight was a late-season game against probably the worst team in the NBA next to the Sixers. And everybody showed up. The stadium was packed. They were cheering pretty loudly. I mean, Tim Frazier got a bit of an ovation. Kendrick Perkins got a bit of an ovation. Terry Rozier did. I mean, that's when you know the fans are into it, when they're cheering for the guys that a casual fan has never heard of in their life.
Jared, we are eagerly anticipating the Garden Report that will be up very soon after this one. What should we expect from you and whoever you're with tonight?
I'm standing next to Kevin O'Connor, or Hair Master General, as I like to call him. And we're gonna do it a little unique tonight. We're gonna do 4 really short videos. Try to get them up as quickly as you can, because tomorrow morning we know everyone's gonna be reading about Big Poppy hitting home runs. So we want to make sure we capture all the Celtics fans right when they're done listening to the post game.
The Red Sox lost, so I mean, come on, it's the second game.
Oh, really? I mean, Big Poppy hit a home run.
Let's not get Sean started.
Thanks for having me on, guys. All right, Jared. Jared Weiss down at the TD Garden, working hard, very busy down there, so we'll let him get back to filming the Garden Report. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @CLNS_Jared Weiss. And, of course, you can catch the Garden Report on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/CLNS Radio. CLNS Radio is the best of written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. So, again, for the best of AV, turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel for high-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews, and, of course, the Garden Report, the HD postgame show, shot right on the parquet floor at TD Garden tonight with Kevin O'Connor. So subscribe today, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. Okay, going back to what we were talking about with the Cleveland, obviously, you know, I expect them to turn it on once we get playoff time and LeBron go into – you know, super pursuit mode, basically. But the Celtics, before they get there, or if they even got there, you know, have a tough road ahead of them no matter who they play. I'm not even thinking in terms of them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals against likely Cleveland. You know, and they can, if they stay in the third seed, can avoid them until the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe. But, you know, I mean, getting to the second round, you know, putting up a fight against whoever they may face, whether it's a Toronto or, you know, an Atlanta, depending on how the chips fall. I mean, is that a successful season for this team? You know, you mentioned before that obviously not too many people, if any, are expecting a championship out of this team. But, you know, if they can make it past the first round, if they face a Charlotte or a Miami or an Atlanta and get to that next round, and, you know, whether they lose in, you know, 5, 6, or 7 games, whatever the case may be, can you call that a successful season for the Celtics this year, or are expectations a little bit higher?
I mean, they're basically locked into the 6th seed right now. It's possible that they fall a little lower, but it doesn't look likely. So, to me, that's a successful season in and of its own, because they are overachieving compared to last year for sure, and I don't think that they changed a whole lot. Sure, they brought in Amir Johnson. He's been a good fit, an inconsistent but good fit for this team, and I think that overall the rest of the players have sort of just made strides in their own right, and they've improved themselves, and that has made the team better, and I don't know if anybody really expected that. There are a couple of teams around the league, especially in the Eastern Conference. New Orleans was one of them in the Western Conference, but Chicago is one of them in the East that people, myself included, thought were going to do really well. And I think that while we all thought the Celtics were going to be in the middle of the pack, nobody really expected them to have this mentality and this sort of persona that they are going to be tough to beat. They're going to be a tough out. They're not going to get swept this year. It doesn't matter who they're playing. Right, I think we all have confidence that they're not going to get swept like they did last season against Cleveland. So that is a successful season in its own right, Sean. And winning a round would definitely be an overachievement in my mind.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, you know, obviously with what happened last year, getting swept out of the first round by Cleveland, and, you know, anything above that, obviously, you know, winning a series, even pushing a first round series to a 6 or 7 games, I think, you know, I know some of us want to sort of skip ahead to the off season and get a little bit of ahead of ourselves with the possibility of who they're going to bring in here from free agency or who they might trade for or whatever happens with this draft pick, sort of looking ahead to the next couple of seasons with the Celtics and, in, you know, anticipating where they might end up, you know, from there. But you get a team here that's really exciting to watch, as we've said, and, you know, they could surprise some people, I think. You know, like we talked about, beyond Isaiah Thomas, if he's taken away, we're going to need some people to step up and really, you know, take ownership of this team offensively, because if Isaiah Thomas isn't scoring and you're, you know, you have a bunch of other guys that aren't really meeting their potential offensively, that's gonna be, you know, tough to watch. But you know, if you can have the guys like Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder stepping up, and even, you know, a Jared Sullinger and you know, Jonas Jerebko coming off the bench and hitting a couple threes, you know, if you're having these contributions from these guys, you know, that something very special could happen this season. And I'm not saying championship, but I mean just something along the lines of getting deeper into the playoffs than certainly they did last year. You know, that's what I'm going to be expecting out of them is for them to surprise a few people and hey, maybe attract a top free agent like a Kevin Durant. Who knows?
Well, I don't really think that their playoff performance is going to matter as far as who they attract. I think that they've impressed enough people this regular season. Brad Stevens has impressed enough people in his 3 years as coach that if somebody, as far as a top-level talent is concerned, wants to come to Boston, they've already put Boston on their list. I don't think a playoff appearance and performance this year is really going to make a difference. Sure, if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals, then more eyes may be open. But I think as far as the top players are concerned, if they have Boston on their list as a place to go, it's already there, and it's not going to matter what happens here. And I say that because I really don't think that they have the talent and the personnel to make a long run, but Stevens has made them play so well that it appears that they do have that talent and that they do have the personnel to make that run. In my opinion, they're not going to make that run. They're going to fall short because you just mentioned it. We've been talking about it all night. If Isaiah Thomas is bottled up or he's not scoring, who's the next guy? And as great as Jay Crowder is on defense, as important as he is to this team, as far as his mentality is concerned and his toughness and every other intangible you want to throw out there, he's not the guy I would want to rely on in the clutch. So really, we said it earlier, you said it earlier, it comes down to Avery Bradley. So if you're putting it on Avery Bradley's shoulders, I just don't see it going very far. I think that he's a great player and that he's going to win at the highest level in this league someday, but this year is not the year. I hope he's on the Celtics when it happens because he really has been a big part of this team the last few years. But offensively, trying to take that shot and make that shot, it's Isaiah or nobody as far as I'm concerned. And if they prove us wrong or prove me wrong, then that's great. And I will really enjoy that. And I hope it happens, but it just doesn't seem like they have what it takes to get extremely far in the playoffs. So my expectations are not going to be that high. And I guess the point is that if somebody looks at this team as a top level player and says, wow, those guys are pretty close, it's not going to matter whether they win a round or they win two rounds or they go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're already showing that they're pretty close.
Well, and we talked about, you know, teams like Atlanta or Miami, you know, being able to take Isaiah Thomas away. But recently, it hasn't happened all that much. So who's to say that Isaiah Thomas, who is sort of You know, as Jared talked about, the chip that he's had on his shoulder and that he continues to have, and I think is good for him to have because of how he plays. You know, the knock on the Celtics has been that they don't really have a superstar on this team. And I'm not going to put Isaiah Thomas in that, you know, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry level. But if there's a superstar on this team, it's definitely Isaiah Thomas. So who's to say that he doesn't continue to elevate his game to another level? It doesn't allow anyone to stop him, you know, hitting the outside shot, penetrating, getting to the line, you know, all these things that he's been doing offensively and leading the team and scoring and, you know, being a facilitator, being able to kick out to the open man for open shots. You know, all these things that that you want your star players to do to be able to win ball games. You know, who's to say that he doesn't go to another level and, you know, nobody can stop him. And he's the reason why you get into a deep series in the second round. And maybe you win, maybe you lose, or, you know, maybe something special happens and you do get to the Eastern Conference Finals because Isaiah Thomas does take it to a level. So, you know, you can look at it from that perspective as well. I mean, we're talking about being worried about Isaiah Thomas being taken away, and that's definitely something to be concerned about. But the way he's playing right now, you know, who can stop him?
I think a team with a good game plan can stop him. And I don't want to knock you. I'm not trying to knock you. I'm trying to knock the idea of teams not stopping him recently. I think he's turned it on at times in games, but he didn't score in the first half of that Golden State game.
Mm-hmm.
Call it what you will. He was 0 for 8, 0 for 9. I don't think
he does have those games. Absolutely. I agree with you. He does have those games.
He has those games. So, and I don't think it was anything that Golden State necessarily did, because Steph Curry, we can all be honest with this, is not the greatest defender in the world. He's an excellent superstar, offensive, once-in-a-lifetime type of player, but he's not a great defender. So if Isaiah is feeling good, then a guy like Steph Curry is going to get beat by Isaiah more times than not. But that's the problem. I think a lot of the guys on the Celtics are inconsistent, and finding how they're going to play well together consistently is going to be a difficult task for Brad Stevens in the playoffs, I think, because while there may not be a single player out there, Sean, that can stop Isaiah Thomas night in, night out, play after play, Cleveland showed the formula last year. They showed how you can stop Thomas and the rest of the Celtics at the same time. It's just a matter of putting together the right defense. So whether teams have been doing it for the last few weeks or not, or this regular season or not, is irrelevant to me. Isaiah Thomas has had an excellent season, and it's been very impressive. But the playoffs are a different game, and we all know this. So that's when great players become superstar, legend type of players, is when they take their great season and they make it a great playoffs. I would love to see it out of Isaiah Thomas. I'm just a little concerned that the rest of the team around him may not allow that, because they don't strike that fear into the rest of the league.
One of the teams we haven't talked about, and at least tonight anyway, that I've been extremely impressed with, and I don't think we can count out, is the Toronto Raptors. You know, obviously, I think everyone just naturally assumes that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to, you know, go into playoff mode and just run right through the East and, you know, get right back into the finals.
I don't assume that.
Against the Warriors. I'm saying in general.
No, but, I know you are, but I'm just saying I'm not one of those general people. I think we realize that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. so, you know, I would love to see a team like the Toronto Raptors, you know, if it's not going to be the Celtics, to go up against Cleveland and knock them off and be that, you know, sort of surprise team coming out of the East. To face whoever comes out of the West, whether it is the Warriors or, you know, can't knock the Spurs because they're always there and they're likely
Oklahoma
to be there.
City
again.
Or the Clippers. I mean, they have so many teams out there in the West.
Exactly. So, I mean, the West is very strong. You know, I think a lot of people, again, in general, assume that the Warriors are going to get right back there. But, you know, we've had a couple games recently where we've seen not only the Celtics, but now the Minnesota Timberwolves beating them at home. So they're not infallible by any stretch of the imagination. In the way some of those other teams are playing, I think it's still up for grabs.
Yeah, and this is another reason that I think the Celtics should really try and push for that 3 seed or fall back to the 6 seed because I and the 3 is obviously better because for home court advantage, but
right,
I feel
right.
like Atlanta is the team that's best suited to knock off Cleveland. So if you're trying to avoid Cleveland as the Celtics to wonder whether you can stop LeBron James, I think that Atlanta is the team that is the best suited to knock them off because they've been there before. They have a pretty good matchup with LeBron James. I feel like they find a way to stop a guy like that. And while they still don't have that superstar type of talent, they've got a couple of guys that are all-star types of players, and their coach is good. You can't knock Mike Budenholzer. So
no.
Just looking at the Hawks roster, I feel like they've got the scoring and they've got enough defense to be able to play against Cleveland. So if I'm the Celtics, I want the Hawks to have that 4 seed and have them meet Cleveland in the second round and knock them off. Because while the Hawks have been playing really well and they are one of the teams that scares me more than the others in the Eastern Conference, I think the Celtics can find a way to beat them too, because they don't have that enormous player in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
On Whiteside like the Heat do. Sure, Paul Millsap is a beast, but I feel like the Celtics have a better matchup with them than they would with Miami. So forgetting about Charlotte here, that's what you're looking at. And if you want to also see who's going to have the better matchup against Cleveland to knock them off, then I'm looking at the Hawks as well. So Celtics, go get that 3 seed. Let the Hawks take the 4 and meet the Cavs in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, they have a good opportunity here. You got, it's the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday night. A team that you've beaten recently and also a team that you've played poorly against recently. But, then you have games against the Heat, against the Hawks, against the Hornets. And I don't know if it was necessarily in that order, but I'll double check that as we're talking here. But, I've said this earlier. So they play Milwaukee on Friday, then a back-to-back. They go down to Atlanta on Saturday, and then they play Charlotte on Monday and finish the season on Wednesday against Miami. So that's how it goes. It was Milwaukee, Atlanta, Charlotte, then Miami. So, that's quite a week for the Celtics here. But they have something to play for here. That's what's going to make it interesting. They've clinched a playoff spot, but they definitely have something to play for here. So we're going to have it all covered on CLNS Radio. CLNS Radio will have our Celtics postgame show after each and every one of these games. Obviously, the home games are going to have Jared Weiss down at TD Garden with the Grandstand Locker Room Report. And Larry H. Russell is going to have a pregame show for each one of these games as well. And hopefully deep into the playoffs, we'll be covering the Boston Celtics. Matt, any final thoughts on this one? We're going to wrap this show up here. You were at the game tonight. You know, the Celtics get the victory over the Pelicans. You know, kind of a, boring game on a Wednesday night against New Orleans. But they had to squeeze out a victory. Any final thoughts as we wrap this one up tonight?
Oh, I just think that the Celtics have an exciting product here. And regardless of what people thought they were going to do at the beginning of the season, they're really showing the heart and hustle that is what Celtics fans ask for. So if they win, it'll be great. If they don't win, still successful. And I'll say that even if they go 0-5 the next 5 games, because they're in the playoffs, and I think that they're going to give some great effort when that comes around.
All right, Matt, thanks for hopping on and joining me tonight, Friday night. After the Bucks game, we got Patrick Gilroy and Bobby Manning. That should be a great show after that game on Friday night. And we will have you covered as the Celtics enter into the playoffs here, right here on CLNS Radio. Make sure you're following us on all social media and also catching the pregame show, the postgame show, the Garden Report, Don't forget about Careless Whispers. Would you and Calvin talk about that we can look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go check that out, we talked last night. It was just a quick show, mainly focused on the fact that Lakers fans are frauds, and they're a bunch of clowns out there in L.A. And we also touched on some other NBA topics and discussed the state of the Celtics and where we thought that they would end up going in the playoffs. So a little more of what you heard tonight, but in a little bit more elaborate. And my rant wasn't as great as it should have been, so you can be sure that the next show I will be ranting even more.
Can't wait. All right. Thanks again for joining us tonight on the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. Again, the Celtics defeat the New Orleans Pelicans 104-97. Don't forget, we'll be back on Friday night after the game against the Milwaukee Bucks right here on CLNS Radio. Thanks so much.